Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
He's transitioned from the big lie about the election to the big lie about hurricane disaster relief. This man is just a pathological liar. He lies at whatever and in the moment he thinks serves his best interest. And at this point, he's not even pretending not to lie. He's just doing it. It's absolutely crazy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to George Conway Explains It All. To Sarah, I'm Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark, and because I'm not a lawyer, I've asked my good friend George Conway from the Society for the Rule of Law to explain the legal news to me. George, we actually have a lot of legal news to get to because we got Jack Smith's brief, and we're going to talk about it. But first, there's so much to talk about. There's so much politics that we could talk about. But instead of talking about it on here, what you should do is come to Philly or to Pittsburgh on October 17th and 18th. We're going to be, George and I, along with the Bulwark crew, Tim, JVL, some others. Bill's going to be there and Egger. And there's a Society for the Rule of Law event also in Philly on the 16th. So, George, we're about to hit the road. You ready for a road trip, you and me?
Yeah. Awesome.
Like buddy, what's your favorite like road trip snack? Like a combos guy or like a popcorn?
I don't know. Wawa.
I go to Wawa.
I don't know what we're gonna do when we get in the Sheets country, but I'm into Wawa.
What is this? Are you from New Jersey? Is that why?
No, I'm originally from Massachusetts, and then, but then I lived in New Jersey. And so
that's the Wawa thing because I'm from Pennsylvania and Sheetz is actually superior in every way to Wawa. I've never understood Wawa people. I didn't know you were a Wawa.
What do you think of Royal Farms? Are you neutral on them?
No, they got good ice cream
and chicken.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good to know. Good to know. All right. So George and I are hitting the road. You guys should come see us. There's still tickets available. If you're a lawyer, come to the Society for the Rule of Law event. If you're just somebody who loves politics, come to the Bulwark event. And like I said, it is October 17th and October 18th, and you can get tickets at thebulwark.com. Okay, and we'll include the links in the show notes too, so you can just look there. So last week, right after we recorded, like an hour later, Jack Smith filed his brief in the election interference case. Now, we'd talked about what could be in there, why it wasn't released last week, but now we've got it. So I'm just going to tell you, the brief starts with this, and we're going to break the whole thing down. But here's how it starts. The defendant asserts that he is immune from prosecution for his criminal scheme to overturn the 2020 presidential election because, as he claims, it entailed official conduct. Not so, says Jack Smith. Although the defendant was the incumbent president during the charged conspiracies, his scheme was fundamentally a private one. Working with a team of private co-conspirators, the defendant acted as a candidate when he pursued multiple criminal means to disrupt, through fraud and deceit, the government function by which votes are collected and counted, a function in which the defendant, as president, had no official role. Okay, George, so clearly a big part of Smith's job here in filing this new report, this brief, is to make the case that Trump's role in the conspiracy to overturn the election was as a candidate, not as president, so that he is not immune from prosecution. So you have read this report. How do you think he does? Does he do a good job of that?
I think he does an excellent job. I think there's, you know, he basically carves out almost everything that any public official, any federal public official in the executive branch says. And he relies basically on how he was told repeatedly through his campaign surrogates and others outside the government, like Rudy Giuliani, about and you know how he substituted Rudy for the people who are telling him he lost. You know, it's just a pretty good presentation. I don't think it really adds, you know, a lot to what we kind of already knew in broad strokes, but I think it just shows that you can support all of this through, you know, through private actors.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Yeah, I mean, your point that he looked to private attorneys like Giuliani and right. private advisors like Steve Bannon rather than the White House counsel's office because they weren't giving him the answer that he wanted, that has led him open to this charge, including the charge of an evidence of a conspiracy.
Right.
Which is really at the center of what Smith is trying to get to here, right? To demonstrate that it wasn't just a situation where Trump was sort of earnestly looking into allegations of fraud, right?
No, they show through these various witnesses, they show that basically this was the plan from the beginning. It was planned from before the election when he was told by campaign advisors that what would happen would be that the initial vote tallies would be stronger for him because of the in-person voting and the Republican tendency to vote in person, and the fact that Trump was bad-mouthing mail voting. They basically told him what's going to happen is as the night progresses, as election night progresses, the results will get increasingly worse for you. So he basically said from the even before the election that he was just going to declare victory.
Stop the count.
Yeah. That just shows his criminal intent from the beginning to steal the election if he could not win it outright. And that's what he did.
I just want to interject here a piece of focus group information, which is I've done a lot of focus group work around people who think that the election was stolen and the people he was able to convince that it was stolen. And I got to tell you, we sort of joke about the stop the count stuff, but the number of people in focus groups who say some version of the following, I say, okay, what makes you think the election was stolen? They say, well, when I went to bed, Trump was winning. When I woke up in the morning, Joe Biden was winning. How do you explain that? And when I say, well, they kept counting the votes overnight, people are like, no. And it is amazing how much the evidence or people's belief in the fraud is simply because Donald Trump sort of played on the fact that there was going to be this delay.
Yeah. And he preconditioned people to believe
right.
there will be fraud. And that's something that, you know, the government does a very good job of showing that through his public statements, he did that. And those statements were made in his capacity as a candidate. There's just no question.
As a candidate and also, you know, I thought one of the things that Jack Smith did that was really useful is also like the president, even if it's like he talks about like what the president's role is and is not in an election. So part of it is he has no official role in certifying election, but he also has no official role in state elections.
Correct.
And so you get this thing where state election administration. So his call to Brad Raffensperger, for example,
right.
where he says, you know, can you find me 11,000 votes? That's in his capacity. I thought very compellingly this was in his capacity as a candidate.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I don't know if you want to, I guess maybe it seems obvious to people like why that distinction matters so much. But I think it was clarifying for me to see the breakdown of like what could be called President Trump and what could be called candidate Trump. And
yes.
basically anything that was going toward like find me votes. And one of the things, you know, the other thing that Jack Smith lays out in this sort of conspiracy idea or, hey, look, if you were just earnestly trying to understand if there was voter fraud, you would behave X way and instead you behave this way. Like one of the things he points out is, you know, he only reached out to Republicans in the states. Like if he thought there was election fraud in Michigan, Why didn't he reach out to Gretchen Whitmer and say, I have concerns about fraud? But he didn't, right? He only reached out to Republican legislators because he was trying to put pressure on them.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's, I mean, that it wasn't a he was not in any way making a legitimate effort to ascertain the results of the election. Every time he did do that, every time that information was provided to him, he just refused to listen to it. And he just went on spouting false narratives. I mean, for example, there's a pretty compelling discussion about how Trump and his people started saying that there had been 36,000 illegal aliens who had voted in, I think it was Arizona. And then they started futzing with the numbers, and then they started bringing the numbers down, and they brought it back up to 36,000 again. They just made numbers up as they went along. And, you know, that wasn't any governmental function at all. It was purely just these campaign operatives and these hangers-on who were just making things up. And he was glomming onto them and feeding them to the public and using that to, you know, disinformation.
And Giuliani's disbarred at this point, right?
Correct.
Why doesn't this matter to anybody? Like, the guy that was out there testifying, because remember Giuliani's running around testifying at these state things, you know, he's accusing these election administrators of fraud. Remember he said that, I'm forgetting their name, but they testified in front of the January 6th, the mother and daughter. And one of them was handing each other like a piece of candy, and they said it was like a thumb drive. I mean, I'm glad that Giuliani has been disbarred, but it's always crazy to me. And it's so like the mafia.
Right.
Like part of what this feels like, right, is the people around him, Jenna Ellis, like these people are suffering consequences, but they have consequences for the actions, but not Trump.
No, it's absolutely right. And he always takes everyone down around him, and somehow he manages to skate. And I think the biggest example of that is, you know, there have been at least a thousand cases brought by the government against poor schmucks who went up on Capitol Hill that day, 900 guilty pleas, in fact. And the person who caused that all to happen is Donald Trump. And we're three, four years down the pike, we're still, you know, we haven't gotten to a trial yet with him. And I think we will after the election, after he loses. But, you know, that's absolutely the case with him, is that people don't learn their lesson. They become associated with him and he gets them into trouble. He puts them in impossible positions, they're impossible positions if you try to serve him. And try to serve hims and serve the country and yourself at the same time. He can't do it. He asks total and complete loyalty to him over the law and over your personal interests. You don't matter. The law doesn't matter. The Constitution doesn't matter. Nothing else matters to Donald Trump but him. And that's the story of everything.
A lot of the new evidence in this brief, because as you said, there's like not that much, even though it's 180 pages. Like, it's very long. So good for you for reading the whole thing, because I had other people read it for me, and then I just read excerpts.
The factual section of it is only probably about 50 pages or so. It really is a very concise and very tight discussion of the facts. And, you know, it's actually, in that sense, it's more a compelling narrative than what we got from the January 6th committee, which was compelling in its own right. But, you know, it was a very, very long report. And then even the summary of the long report, which was meant to be something of a executive summary of it, was pretty long. This is much tighter. And I think, I think these guys are ready for trial. And I think we're just going to have to see how long it takes to get there with Judge Chutkan having to parse through this. I think she'll get through it pretty quickly. And I think the issues will be pretty much crystallized probably for, you know, there'll probably be another appeal, because I think there's going to be an appeal straight up on
whether or not any of the Pence stuff comes in.
Well, let's just talk about the Pence stuff, because that was to the extent that the information was new that we hadn't heard from either the January 6th committee. For those of us who have been following it pretty closely, I think there was maybe I thought there was going to be some explosive new stuff in it, and there wasn't a ton of that. But the Pence stuff was sort of the most interesting. And the brief makes clear that Trump was putting just consistent pressure on Mike Pence. Like, it wasn't one time. It was he kept going back to Mike Pence to ask him to overturn this election or tell him not to certify the election. Pence consistently held the line, right, and said that he did not believe he had the authority to not certify, which just as a side note makes Vance such a scary prospect.
Right.
Like, because he has said he would not have certified the 2020 election like Mike Pence did, but certainly going forward he'd do whatever Donald Trump said. I don't know. Yeah, have you thought about that? Like, what do you think about, because this is, it is Mike Pence, to the extent that I it's not like I read none of this. I read this section in particular. Mike Pence continues to be heroic, seems like an overstatement for a guy who like just did the thing he was supposed to do.
Right.
Like, no, Trump really was putting a lot of pressure on him.
Trump was, but again, I mean, we wouldn't have had January 6th if Mike Pence had done what he actually should have done, which is concede the election on his own sometime probably in November. At the latest, the day that the electoral vote certificates were signed in the various state capitals in mid-December. I mean, he had, you know, his name was on the ballot. He was himself a candidate for public office, and he had like the moral obligation to concede an election he knew, he absolutely knew, the evidence is clear, and he was trying to convey that to Trump, that he had lost. And if he had done truly the right thing, he would have said, congratulations, President Biden, President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris, you've won the election and, you know, wish you Godspeed for the sake of the country. He could have done that.
You know, that never
occurred to me. Of course, but the problem with
that, I've never heard anybody make this argument. But now that you say it.
No, I've made this argument before. I mean, you know, it's the thing about Pence is I've always thought, look, he did do the right thing. Okay, he showed a lot of backbone on January 6th, but it shouldn't have gotten to that point because nothing changed from about mid-November to late November. Whenever it was they conceded. They told Trump, the campaign people, that he had to win election challenges in Arizona, Georgia, and I guess Pennsylvania. I forget what the other third state was, one of the blue wall states. He had to win three election challenges. They conceded Arizona pretty early. And at that point, even by the campaign's own standards, the election was over. And I think that was in November. And it certainly was no later than December. And he had a moral obligation to concede at that point. And if he had, I don't think there would have been a January 6th. Because Trump would not have been able to maintain the fraud that he ultimately conducted if his own running mate was basically saying this is bullshit. Pence would not do that because Pence wanted to still be Donald Trump's friend. But, you know, that's the thing is there is no appeasing him. You can't go halfway with Donald Trump. You either have to do the right thing from the beginning or just, you know, throw in the towel and give him anything because you get torn apart if you try to straddle the truth and Donald Trump. You just basically have to cast your lot in with reality. And he didn't do that. And he didn't do it after the election. He kind of didn't own up to what he had done, which was the right thing. I mean, imagine that. You did the right thing before history and you're still not. He was not really touting that and not really even sticking up for himself. And then even today, you know, he has said basically Donald Trump is unfit for office and that he can't support Donald Trump because of what Trump did.
in the last election. Yet, he somehow thinks he's preserving his political viability by not saying that more vociferously. I don't get it.
Well, we're going to, on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about what a bad friend Donald Trump is to Mike Pence. That comes through very clearly in this report. But first, this episode is sponsored by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Make this fall the tastiest season yet with easy, autumn-inspired recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh. HelloFresh has tons of options for whatever you're craving. Choose from a changing menu of over 50 recipes each week, plus take your pick from over 100 market add-on items like desserts, breakfasts, and snacks. You can also choose meals that match you and your family's lifestyle with preferences like fit and wholesome, quick and easy, or vegetarian. You'll always find something to love from HelloFresh. From hearty dinners to game day snacks, HelloFresh has a variety of recipes and flavors to perfectly accompany sweater weather. We're looking at you, pumpkin spice. And did you know Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh? And with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there is something for everyone. So if you listen to The Next Level with me, Tim, and JVL, you know we all got a pile of little kids. And so we have all started using HelloFresh because it's so easy to prep and to cook. I am not much of a chef, as people who listen to me know. But by getting HelloFresh, I participate in the prep, which makes me a hero at home. And by hero, I mean tolerable. I am tolerated at home for providing that service. So you should go be a hero at home, too, and get 10 free meals at HelloFresh.com/free Ask George. Applied across 7 boxes. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. That's 10 free HelloFresh meals just by going to HelloFresh.com/free Ask George. Sign up with America's number one meal kit today.
Awesome.
Okay. So I want to talk about this Pence thing because one of the craziest things that is in this report is this recounting of a conversation. It is that when Donald Trump was told Mike Pence's life is in danger, the people out there on the Capitol, they are coming to kill this guy, Trump's answer was, so what?
Yeah.
So what? Mike Pence, you know, the argument you just made is it really is one of these that I haven't heard before. And maybe this is because I get stuck. I usually end up fighting with JVL because JVL has like written whole Atlantic pieces about how Mike Pence is like just a hero, that, you know, from that day. And I'm always like, well, like, he did the right thing and that's good. But like, are we giving out cookies now simply for like certifying elections? Because that feels like a low bar. But then I'm, you know, sometimes I'm like, I don't know, in a world of low bars, there's still people not managing, like the vast majority of Republicans aren't clearing them, and Mike Pence did, so that's good. But your point about how Mike Pence could
I'm not going to condemn him. I don't condemn him to you know, the purgatory that I would condemn all the other people. I mean, he did do the right thing at the end of the day. He acknowledged that he lost, but he didn't have to take so long about it. You know, he only did it because he, even though he's an adult, grown up, couldn't stand up to Donald Trump. You know, it's just crazy that these people just cannot stand up to Donald Trump. And I it's unfathomable.
What's funny to me about the so what in the report is that it's like kind of not legally relevant. It just like shows what a scumbag Trump is.
Yeah, no, it shows
Or is depraved indifference to somebody's life, isn't that a legal term?
Yeah, no, it is. It is an illegal term, and there are psychological aspects. I mean, he's a sociopath. That is the mark of a sociopath. He does not care about anyone else, their safety. This is why he talked about it for an hour and 8 minutes yesterday, at one of his rallies, and didn't mention the hurricane until like an hour, 8 minutes in, after he talked about, you know, wind being terrible and a whole bunch of other crazy things. Like, you know,
wind as a means of energy production, right? That's right, what he was talking about.
Yeah.
He's always really
he does that whole, he's been doing that whole shtick for years, but he goes, where, you know, honey, we're at home watching TV and sorry, we can't watch TV tonight because the windmill, there's no wind, you know, like dumbass. That's not how this shit works. I mean, he's so stupid, but he says this stuff and we're still here with him and it's just crazy.
Are you tired?
I'm exhausted by this.
Are you existentially tired?
Yes, I'm existentially tired.
I feel a little bit that way too. It's funny when you get really into this home stretch. It's a little bit like, sorry for this gross analogy, but do you ever have this thing where like you kind of have to pee in the car, like you have to go to the bathroom, but like then you start getting closer to your house, and the closer you get, the worse it gets because you're like, I know that I get to go to the bathroom soon.
5 minutes, right?
Yeah, it's like just the closer you are, like the more you can. And it's like the election's sort of like that. Where like when it was far away, it's like, okay, I want to know the outcome. But like now that it's super close, I'm like in this acute, like, oh, and if this thing doesn't end soon, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, I'm not quite like that. I am tired of it because I really like you, Sarah. I like doing this. There are lots of people
like
I've got to meet, nice people I've got to meet over the last several years. But I'm really tired of this guy.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. And I think ultimately that's what's going to beat him, is even his own people are tired of him. And
God, I hope so.
I think that they don't want to say it, but deep down they want him to go away every bit as much as we do. I really believe that.
From your lips.
Yeah.
So, all right, back to this thing. So yes. One of the craziest consequences of the Supreme Court's immunity decision is that a judge can't look to intent or motivation when deciding whether a president's conduct is official or unofficial. And do you think that's going to pose a problem for the prosecution, or do you think the evidence is compelling enough and clear enough on its own?
I think the evidence is clear enough and compelling enough on his own, because what were the powers that what were the presidential powers that he was contemplating exercising? He had none. The only thing he might have had would be some kind of a DOJ voting rights claim or something, some kind of a lawsuit by the DOJ. And that, you know, that's out of the case. He won that one. And so the conversations with the Justice Department are out. But once you take that out, everything else is pretty much fair game, as Jack Smith points out. I don't know how you don't allow a case to be tried at a minimum based upon what he was told by campaign aides and what he said to campaign aides and what he said publicly, you know, relating to what, you know, his understanding of whether he had won or lost the election and all that stuff. I mean, it's all had nothing to do with the government.
Well, I guess on this question of intent, though, like intent matters for the underlying crime, right? So the prosecution has to prove that Trump knew what he was saying about the election was false.
Right.
And that seems tricky with Trump because Trump, you know, seems to convince himself that whatever is expedient to him is also true. So isn't that, I guess that's what I'm asking about.
I think you're entitled to assume that somebody who says, it doesn't matter whether we won or lost, I'm going to fight like hell. And then who has subsequently said on multiple occasions, we lost by a whisker, and has made all sorts of inconsistent statements, and then has made statements that are flatly inconsistent with things that he was told by the people whose job it was to tell him these things, namely his campaign aides and lawyers, you can infer that he doesn't really believe it. Or at the minimum, he just atrociously and beyond recklessly just sort of intentionally shut it out of his mind so that he could continue lying. And that suffices for motive to show criminal intent. In terms of the motive, you know, the motive inquiry with respect to official acts, and basically what the Supreme Court said there is you cannot make an official act such as, I hate to say this, but ordering SEAL Team 6 to kill somebody. And you can't, that's an official act regardless of whether or not it was done in good faith or not, which is a scary, you know, that's a scary proposition.
Yeah.
And it basically, the only application it has in this particular case, fortunately, is with respect to the Justice Department, because that the Justice Department, whatever the Justice Department could have done, although it was bullshit, I mean, there was no legal basis for it, but they could have, at least in theory, brought a frivolous lawsuit somewhere. And I think that's essentially what Trump wanted them to do, because he just wanted them to do something and then he could use it in Congress for political effect. That's what he basically said. It's like, leave it to me and the, you know, leave it to me and the members and the Republican members of Congress, I think he said at one point. We learned in the January 6th hearings. And so the court is basically saying, even if he was contemplating bringing what he knew to be a sham lawsuit, that's still official conduct. And that, you know, I strongly disagree with that. If you tell the Secretary of Treasury of the Treasury to transfer $1 billion to a Swiss bank account in the name of Donald J. Trump, and you're Donald J. Trump, I guess that's an official act in the sense that you're dispersing money, albeit without authority of Congress. You're stealing. I don't know how that's not theft, and how you can just say that, well, it's an official act. Doesn't matter that he was sending it to his own account. Doesn't matter that it wasn't authorized by Congress. It's, you know, it's just unfathomable what the Supreme Court did. But, you know, fortunately, it doesn't preclude prosecution for what was essentially a private scheme, as Jack Smith lays out.
You mentioned the DOJ thing, which is interesting, because in the original indictment, there was an entire section on Trump trying to leverage the DOJ to overturn the election.
Right.
But you're right. Now that the Supreme Court said that the president interacting with DOJ is inherently official, Smith dropped all that from the superseding indictment, which means that the government can't tell the whole story in its brief. And it highlights why this immunity decision is so harmful.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Well, yes and no. I agree the immunity decision is wrongheaded on any number of levels, but it doesn't preclude the telling of the fundamental story, which was this was a plan to basically concoct a lie, the big lie, that Trump lost the election, and that it was concocted before the election was even lost. And that story, that through line, carries all the way through to the end. The Justice Department really, you know, the fact that he tried to get the Justice Department to do something, to intercede in his behalf, even by filing a fake lawsuit, essentially, is just sort of like one of many things that he did. But it's not necessarily central to the story. I mean, it was dramatic evidence because it showed that, you know, you had all these guys in the Justice Department, all these pretty experienced lawyers basically saying, we can't do this. We have no legal warrant to do this. And, you know, which again highlights how absurd the Supreme Court decision was. I mean, you have a bunch of people saying, we don't have authority to do this. And so the president is exercising official power and official engaging in official acts and telling these people to do things that personally benefit him that they believe they have no authority to do. You know, I mean, it's nonsensical, and what the Supreme Court did was nonsensical. But the fact of the matter is there's so much else that actually, you know, it streamlines the story in a way that probably actually can make it easier to tell. You don't need all this stuff.
That's an interesting point. The less is more. I mean,
less look, you don't need it. Look, you just look. I mean, you don't need, you know, you don't need. I mean, if you can get somebody on possession of crack cocaine or something, and you don't need to necessarily show all the people coming in and out of the crack house. I mean, you don't have to nail everybody on every single crime. This guy, you know, gives you a
a plethora of things, offenses, but not every single one of them has to be charged. And you know, it's just as well charge the stuff you charge and go for it, because this guy doesn't deserve a break.
Yeah. I want to get into some of the political ramifications in just one second. But first, our second sponsor today is The Perfect Jean. Let's talk about jeans for a sec. You've been lucky enough to acquire a pair from The Perfect Jean, and they're basically the unicorn of jeans. They fit like a dream and look fantastic, which I can tell you, they look fantastic on George. These jeans fit like they were custom made, stretch like you wouldn't believe, and look fantastic. The fabric is oh so soft and yet incredibly durable. The Perfect Jean also has a seriously massive range of sizes, with six fits, waist sizes from 26 to 50, and lengths 26 to 38. That's meaningless to me, men's sizes. You can find the perfect fit for the body you're rocking. For a limited time, our listeners get 15% off their first order plus free shipping at theperfectjean.nyc or Google The Perfect Jean and use code AskGeorge15 for 15% off. George, I know you love these jeans. Tell us about them.
They're the greatest. I mean, they really are every bit as comfortable as a pair of sweats. I mean, they look like jeans, and they are jeans, and they're great, and they're soft and comfortable, and I can't say enough of them.
Yeah, you're wearing them every time I see you, so it must be good.
I've got like 10 pairs of them.
That's great. All right, our listeners get 15% off your first order, plus free shipping, free returns, and free exchanges when you use code AskGeorge15 at checkout. So go to theperfectjean.nyc. That's 15% off for new customers at theperfectjean.nyc with promo code AskGeorge15. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them George sent you. F your khakis and get the perfect jean. I don't like to say the F word. They got to stop putting this in the ad.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's their slogan.
I know it's their slogan, but we're running a family show here, guys. Family show. All right. So the DOJ has a policy of not filing anything political in the run-up to an election.
You're going to get me started here.
That's my goal. And Smith has gotten some criticism for filing this brief a month out before the election. What do you think?
There are a couple of pieces, opinion pieces that say that, first of all, that rule does not apply to ongoing cases. What it means is that if you are making a charging decision and you are a federal prosecutor, you should not make a decision to charge a public official within 60 days of an election. But that being said, if the case has been filed, you can try the case anytime, including right through the election. So first of all, that rule doesn't apply. Even if it did apply, it doesn't apply. But the other points that people are making about this is they're saying, oh, this was an attempt by Jack Smith to poison the well in the election by filing this brief. And that is just absurd, because the Supreme Court directed that this happen. And the reason why it's happening now is because Donald Trump went to the Supreme Court, got the Supreme Court to take the case, got the case put off through at least June and then the rest of the summer, thanks to that appeal. And then the Supreme Court said, here are the proceedings that have to happen on remand. One, the district court has to go through all of the alleged acts and evidence that is being proposed by the government to be admitted at trial, and make a determination as to whether or not they involve official acts or not official acts. And so that's the task. The only way to do that is for Jack Smith either to put on witnesses in open court or to do what he did, is file a big summary with attachments. And that's what he did. And the other argument they're making is that, oh, well, Smith wanted to go first and the judge let him go first and that wasn't proper. It's like, no, that's not true. First of all, Donald Trump went first. He filed a motion to dismiss on grounds of presidential immunity over a year ago. And that's what went up to the Supreme Court. And so, therefore, I don't know if it was over a year, probably about a year ago. And therefore, he's already filed his opening papers. And it doesn't make any sense for him to say any more than what he's already said, because he doesn't have the case. He doesn't have the information about what evidence Jack Smith wants to put on at trial. It's up to Jack Smith to tell the court that in accordance with the Supreme Court's instructions. So that's why he got to file this particular brief at this particular time. And the fact that it was, you know, just before the election, well, it just means that, you know, Trump managed to stall this to the election and beyond, actually. But, you know, he can't stall everything past the election. And this just happened to be one of the things that happened that, that came as down the pike as a matter of course. So it's just complete nonsense, the suggestion that somehow, you know, this case has been used in a political or improper manner. I mean, and the fact of the matter is, no, he did this. Okay? I mean, he did all this stuff. There's no dispute about that. And he should live with it.
Let me ask you. So I was on Nicole Wallace the day that this came out, right? So I taped with you, and then I'd gone on to Nicole, and the news breaks, and so...
Like, yeah, right in the middle of the afternoon.
So they got their legal eagles on, and they kind of, like, bumped me back, and then I end up getting on with, I don't know, Heilman and a couple other people and talk about the political implications. And the point that I was making around the politics of it was, you know, that... If January 6th, like it always comes down to kind of as you close in on an election, what are people talking about? What's top of mind? What's high salience? In that moment, I was like, wow, like there's some going to, you know, I hadn't read it yet. It was just coming out. So I was like, this is a big deal to have this right now. Is this the October surprise? It's going to make us talk about January 6th going into the closing weeks of the election. But here we are a week later of this coming out. No one's talking about it. I mean, we are because we're a legal podcast and this is the biggest legal news that there is. But like, I'm not sure that it was enough to sort of change the conversation.
No, I agree because it's not visual. It's not televisual. And it, you know, these are basically, it's a brief. And it's a brief where the broad outlines of what happened, not necessarily every jot and tittle of the evidence. I mean, the so what obviously is new. But we've been through this already.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that the answer should be like, okay, we've already concluded that this guy is unfit for public office and he should have been gone.
Yeah.
But people have concluded whatever they're going to conclude about that. You know, if you think it's disqualifying, you already thought that. If you think it's not disqualifying, well, you already thought that. And, you know, I think that to the extent there are people who really don't focus on it, well, they're never going to focus on it. They didn't focus on it before. They're not going to focus on it now. So, I hate to say that because it's appalling that it didn't, you know, it doesn't have the effect that I would want it to have. Like, you know, how can you, you know, but he's, and then he's off doing all this outrageous shit every day, other outrageous shit. Like, you know, he's transitioned from the big lie about the election to the big lie about hurricane disaster relief. I mean, you know, this man is just a pathological liar. He lies at whatever and in the moment he thinks serves his best interest. And at this point, he's not even pretending not to lie. He's just doing it. And it's absolutely crazy. I mean, he did that. And then he talked about how people, you know, the people coming into the country have bad genes. You know, he did. I mean, think of all the things.
I think they have perfect genes.
The perfect genes. Yes. Yeah, they have. you know, talking about, you know, basically eugenics and saying he'd been to Gaza when he hadn't. I mean, you know, it just every day he does something that's completely insane. And that's why we're not talking about the insane things he did 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's been doing insane things for 7 years.
And can I just say, as my own personal rant?
Yeah.
It is one thing, I think, to just say insane things. It's another when they have real collateral consequences. And in the case of the hurricane, the misinformation that he and his followers are pumping into the ecosystem is having real damaging consequences. Yeah. I mean, you'd have a Republican congressman like put out a list of things to say, no, FEMA's not controlling the weather. No, there's not lithium deposits that they're trying to extract, and that's why they've sent this hurricane here. Like, as Tim pointed out on our podcast, too many calls he had to get to those effects to put it as number one on the list of things he needed to debunk. So Donald Trump does these things as though no one can. It's like Springfield. It's like they say they're eating
like
the cats.
Springfield, it's like COVID.
Yes, exactly. It's just like COVID. It's just like COVID. All right, George, that's enough from us for today. George, as always, thank you for discussing the legal news with me. Thanks to all of you for listening to another episode of George Conway Explains It All. To Sarah, don't forget to hit subscribe, leave us a review, email us at askgeorge@thebulwark.com, and we will see you next week.
Well, George Conway, he's a man with a plan. Got to sit down with Sarah Longwell, take a stand, explain all the legal problems they're piling high. With Donald Trump, oh my, oh my, oh my. He said, Sarah, let me break it down for you. There's obstruction of justice, corruption too. The legal tangles and troubles, they're growing fast. It's a storm that's gonna last and last. Oh, Conway, tell Longwell all about it. Those legal problems can't live without it. From the Emoluments to the Russian ties. Oh, Sarah, listen close.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.